Welcome to Ever Beyond on Wolf Spirit Radio. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, 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 beyond. Greetings, sisters and brothers of the light, in the light and to the light. How are you all? It's been a lovely weekend here. Finally, we've had some sunlight in Scotland. It's been pleasant. But actually, standing outside this afternoon, I was standing in a 20 mile an hour warm wind, and I always notice that when there's a warm wind in Scotland up here, England's getting a battering. But I think it's all right at the moment. So, enough about the weather. Tonight's guest is a very special guest. He's a host on Wolf Spirit Radio, as well as being probably one of the most knowledgeable guests that I'm aware of. He has a great deal of experience in and out of the physical sphere. He's experienced a lot of unusual things that people don't normally come across, and a lot of them have been painful and traumatic, but he's come through. He's always cheerful and in a really great space. Let's see how I've done. Good evening, Stuart Swerdlow. Welcome to Ever Beyond. How are you?
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, JP. You know, what an introduction. I don't know if I'm always so cheerful. You'd have to speak to Janet about that. She might disagree with you.
Well,
sure. Ask my mother. Definitely don't ask.
Don't ask your mother. Well, you know, if you think you're enlightened, spend a week with your parents, eh?
Oh my goodness! You know, they asked Saddam Hussein if they'd rather spend a day with my mother or hanging, and he chose hanging.
Oh, bless your heart. That's great. All right, I've just turned my microphone down a little bit. People were saying I was a little hot. Well, you know, what can I do?
And by the way, JP, there's always hot air blowing up from England.
Yeah.
And mostly from Buckingham Palace.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Talk about our little queenie.
Oh, gosh. Oh, yeah. Yes. Must we?
Well, I'll try not to. All right. Well, moving swiftly. Well, actually, you know, it kind of involves the whole Queenie. One of the things that we were slated to talk about this evening, and we'll probably get into that later, was the Olympic Stadium, the whole ceremonies, the false flags, and all of those things that are coming up on the near horizon. But in the meantime, there's this other thing that happened this last week, and I'm sure that you've got one or two insights on this, and so we can discuss this and any other little points, because I know you watch the news very closely. You see behind the scenes, as it were, with the news. So, I'll just step back and point the little cheap torch at the soapbox that I have here standing, and away you go, Stuart. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Jay. Well, you know, I did write a lot about that today on my own website, and I mentioned that if we look at the last few weeks, What's been leading up to the Olympics? We've seen cannibalistic behavior all over the world, people eating other people's faces, brains, livers, hearts. We even had a man bite his wife's lips off and eat them. Yes, lots of blood and guts, lots of ritualistic imagery that's been posted up on the internet, conventional news. And then in the last week alone, of course, we had the bus blown up in Bulgaria. The Israeli tourists that were killed by a European-looking man with a fake Michigan driver's license. And then, just a few days after that, we have this horrendous attack in the theater in Colorado by a man who, a young man, 24 years old, who was a very brilliant student of neuroscience and who declared himself to be the Joker from Batman and then kicked in the steel-locked door, security door of a theater, managed to throw in gas canisters, and then with multiple weapons attack the entire audience. So we have to ask, you know, how could this person do all of that in a matter of really moments?
Not only that, but he was armored up.
Yes.
Was completely covered in Kevlar. He had several weapons, automatic weapons, which aren't cheap. None of this stuff is cheap, is it?
Well, that's a good point, JP, because you know what? He had trouble paying his bills.
Exactly.
So how could he have paid for all of these weapons in the last few weeks?
Exactly. And when I looked at the guy's face, he's got a wide face. It's open. He's got beautiful eyes.
Well, speaking of the eyes, and if you know, when I write about this in my mind control and programming information, I say, if you look at the person's eyes, like the entertainment icons out there, you'll see that one eye looks different than the other eye. There seems to be, they're not equal.
All right.
One eye looks larger than the other or misplaced compared to the other. And that's a sign of very deep programming and going into an altar. So I'm very positive that that's exactly what's happened. But I also feel there was more behind this than they obviously are saying, because I don't think he could possibly have done this alone.
Absolutely. Well, there was another a report from a witness that I've seen who said that there was a guy who went, who received a phone call, very obviously received a phone call in the theater, and walked across to the exit where this guy was, and then was not seen again.
Interesting. So the guy in the theater disappeared.
Yeah, so he had a pretext for going to that exit. That, you know, oh, my phone's ringing, I better go and answer it. Let me just go to this exit here. And then suddenly the guy burst in and you know.
Yes, yeah. And the other interesting thing is, you know, this perpetrator was from California. He committed the crime in Colorado, and his car had Tennessee license plates. So that's so that's usually a sign when they have all these mixing and scattered IDs, that that's a sign of mind control and programming and assistance by federal agencies.
Yeah. So there's a lot of this stuff that's going up. I mean, I'm seeing it going on my Facebook page. You know, there's now one of these little meme cards with a picture of the Batman in the background and a whole bunch of facts that appear to be connected with this case that just show it to be completely, you know, staged.
Yes.
Go on.
You know, and of course it was a midnight showing, and we all know that the midnight hour is the ritualistic hour for the Illuminati. And of course, Batman, the bat imagery swooping down from in the darkness, that's what bats do. And the Joker, that kind of thing. It kind of reminds me of a person that I know in Russia. Who I cannot name who it is, but this person is connected to the KGB. And a few years ago in Moscow, in a very large theater, there was an attack by the Chechens on a people in a theater. But before the Chechens would do anything inside the theater, this person who I knew was allowed to leave the theater safely, and then the Chechens opened fire. So it reminds me of what you said about this man going to the door after a phone call.
Yes, it's like there was a pre-knowledge of this was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And they did admit it was planned for once by the person.
Yeah. And then there's the Illuminati cards. You've seen these things, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
There was one that had the theater. There was, you know, the theater that they were in had this big wall, the big kind of like a tower block, a big wall, and there's a one of these Illuminati cards that has that false flag shooting with a large walled cinema. Just seemed to be.
And even the name of the town, Aurora, which is, you know, like the Aurora Borealis, or some light that's shining around something in order to spotlight it. My point being that if we have two such incidences the week before the Olympics, obviously these are global rituals designed to lead up to some event that will happen at the Olympics. And since the Illuminati do like to do things in threes, because three represents creation and perfection in hyperspace language, I would suspect that there may very well be a third incident before the Olympics, which would be in a matter of days that would happen.
So this is something we can look out for.
Yeah, and the first incident was in Europe. The second incident was in North America. So I imagine there'll be a third continent in which this will occur.
Sounds like Asia somewhere.
Yeah, and then if you think about it, you know, the Olympics have the rings for the different continents, the symbol, and so there may be, maybe there'll be an incident on every continent before the Olympics.
Yeah, or maybe they'll have five this time.
Yeah,
five rings and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and well, I mean, not only is the back to the Olympic thing. I'll talk about this later, but the whole security issues and things like that. So, any more thoughts on Colorado, or have we covered that?
Well, I just think that most of what that was about will never be on the news. And it'll be probably weeks and months from now that any information will be revealed about this particular person. And, of course, they'll make up some kind of story about his life and his childhood, or his likes and dislikes, and why he had to do this as a deranged person.
Yeah, because he, you know, like we were saying, you know, he doesn't look deranged. He looked like a kind of intelligent guy to me.
Yeah, well, they have said that he was one of the most brilliant neuroscience students out there.
Yeah, and they like wasting stuff, don't they?
Yes, they do. But, you know, his face reminded me a little bit of the same, the one that shot the congresswoman in Arizona last year. You know, that kind of like that wild-eyed look, you know, that they had with him. I wonder if they'll shave his head like they did the other guy.
Probably. Yeah. So, to other news, is there anything that's been catching your eye this week, Brother Stuart?
Well, I've been so busy getting ready for webinars this week and my summer intensive the week later. I've hardly had a chance to really go through the news completely. But, of course, these stories that we've just talked about have been the salient points. And plus, you know, the big weather here in North America is the big drought that has pervaded the whole continent.
Yes. And that's going to be bad news for the harvest, isn't it?
Well, they already said, and of course you can imagine September, October, November, they will be saying, you know, why all the food prices have to be double, triple, quadruple than what they are now. And of course that'll make the economy even worse.
Yep. And that's what we call gouging, isn't it? Price gouging.
Well, yes. And apparently, there's also a weather problem in Iran, and the Iranians are blaming the Americans for screwing around with their weather.
Ah. Well, that's interesting, because many years ago, Saddam Hussein used to complain that he was being mentally and psychically attacked by Americans, and everybody was going, oh yeah, and it turns out years later that the classified documents were released, and yes, indeed, they were messing with his head.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, of course they are. You know? Well, look, they're the ones that put him in power in the first place.
Exactly. So they may have even chipped him.
Oh, guaranteed. But then again, which one? Because remember, German TV identified 10 different versions of Saddam Hussein.
10 different clones. Wow.
At least they said they counted 10 different ones.
Wow. So how do they know that they got the guy?
Well, exactly. Exactly.
And that's an old trick. That's an old trick that Hitler used, isn't it?
Yes, decoys, lookalikes, that kind of thing. And speaking of Hitler, that's been on the news almost every other day. All kinds of Nazi information, history regarding the Nazis, Olympic information regarding the Nazis. I just saw today they're looking at the old 1936 Nazi Olympics barracks and housing for people. Why is that coming up in the news now?
Uh-oh. That's interesting. Just as you said the word Nazi, one of our chat room people wrote, Dr. Green is a name that keeps popping up.
Well, yes. I know him well.
Yes. Because are you okay to talk about it?
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
I've had my vodka today, so I'm perfectly fine.
Okay. Couple of stippies.
At least.
Dr. Green. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Mm. The angel of death, they called him, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. And, of course, he did not die in the war, as suspected or as historically documented. And, in fact, they found his body floating off the coast of Brazil back in the 1980s, I believe it was.
All right. Wow. And, I heard stuff about the Operation Paperclip.
Yes.
Which got ostensibly that was to bring Wernher von Braun and his guys over to the States, but apparently it was a much larger operation than that.
Yeah.
They brought, how many, 50,000 Nazis over?
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And gave them new names, but apparently, from what I've heard, is that they came through Caithness in Scotland. That was like the staging post between here and between there and Germany. Was that they would take them over to this place called Camp O, which is like Caithness is the very very northernmost part of Scotland. It's just near Wick and John O'Groats and all that. Mm-hmm. And that this was the place where they were supposed to do the their deprogramming, or which was essentially what. Burgess wrote about in Clockwork Orange, this thing about being shown their evil deeds, being forced to watch their evil deeds, and some of them would get excited by that, and some of them wouldn't, and that's how they divided the hardcore Nazis with the ones. Do you know that story?
Yes, and it's interesting you mention that because it makes sense then that Dr. Ewan Cameron, who was a Scottish doctor, came to Canada to start the mind control experiments in North America right after the war. So it's very likely that he took a lot of that German information from Scotland and brought it to Canada and was so successful that then brought it to the United States.
Wow.
So that makes a lot of sense as far as the pathway that they used.
So I mean that's a very very little known bit of wartime information, the whole thing about the Campo and that, and I got that from David Hawkins and Field McConnell. I don't know if you're aware of these guys. They've been digging.
I know the names.
Stuff about they run on Rumor Mill News Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
They come up with just amazing, amazingly deep research. Fantastic stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So So your connection with Dr. Mengele, otherwise known as is it Mengele?
Mengele.
Mengele. otherwise known as Dr. Green, just in case people were wondering.
Yes.
He was the man who was the kind of top of the MK Ultra group, is that mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. Did he form
and mind control experiments, genetic manipulation, sexual magic ritual, all of that was under his heading. You know, he controlled all of that.
Wow. And so he must have had a lot of information that he'd already taken from his experiments over concentration camps.
Yes, absolutely. And those became the basis for the American and even British and Soviet mind control work that came subsequent to that.
Yes. And because waterboarding is quite ancient, isn't it? It's a very old mind control technique.
Yeah. You know, mind control is, you know, theoretically billions of years old because it did not originate on the Earth. It was brought here by those who colonized the Earth. So it's very, very ancient protocols. But now, of course, in the last century, technology has really enhanced a lot of it. And you don't even have to be taken to a location and tortured anymore because they can just transmit through satellite transmission, cell tower transmission, you name it. They can remotely connect to any person anywhere in the world and program them.
Wow. So this fellow, James, who was in Colorado, do you think that I mean, my personal feeling is that during the experiments that he would do as a neuroscientist student, they may have slipped something in there that he wouldn't be aware of. You know, they say, oh, let's do a sleep test, and they would wire him up, and then, like you say, you know, they've got it down to a fine art. He wouldn't even know about it, would he?
That's correct. That's very possible and likely, and I would even say that he was probably programmed since childhood. I have to learn more about his family ancestry, his genetics, but most of the time when you have someone committing an event like this, the programming has been embedded since early childhood.
Hmm. And this, again, could be something like a weekend camp or a scout camp or something like that, And
it could be anything. It could be anything. You know, it could be a trip to the dentist. It can be a medical exam. It could be anything as a cover for what's really going on.
Gosh, and that's a horrendous thing.
Yes.
So how do we stop this, Stuart? How do we knock this on the head? How do we prevent this from happening to the future of humanity? Or is it our lot? To be under this, have we agreed somewhere?
That's a very interesting question because you may have heard me say it 100 times that humanity as a species has a victimization mentality and mind pattern, and so if we as individuals and collectively have such a victimization mind pattern, we will attract oppressors and tyrants, and so that's why I do my work to teach people how to release the mind patterns, how to deprogram themselves, do affirmations so that they correct the negative mind patterns. We must work on ourselves individually, and that's the only way to undo and stop all of this horrendous activity. Because you know, weapons aren't going to do anything, and protests aren't going to do anything. We have to work on ourselves individually.
Do you think that works on, you know, will only be working on a few people because they've got wholesale, you know, like you're saying, they've got wholesale satellite devices that can program presumably many people at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
So that seems like a kind of overwhelming obstacle. how many times we deprogram ourselves, there'll be another programmed being coming along the road.
Well, that's also a good point, and that's why it's an ongoing process. We can't just say, oh, I did my deprogramming, I'm done. Mm. You have to keep doing it, and we have to use protection techniques so that when we do our deprogramming, we keep ourselves in protection so that new programming cannot enter into our psyche. Yeah. So it's a mindful thing. It's a 24/7 job. We're basically in a mental and emotional battlefield for our own soul personalities, and but we have to realize we're not innocent victims. We are willing participants. We came here knowing that this exists. We came here with a mind pattern that needed these experiences. We cannot blame anyone or anything else or claim to be a victim or accuse people of being perpetrators. We have to take responsibility, and I know that a lot of people out there don't like that aspect. They don't want to take responsibility. They like to blame others and say, you know, humanity is a victim of X, Y, and Z. Yeah. And that's very convenient to do that, but it doesn't solve the problem. Once we realize that we ourselves, individually and collectively, are responsible for our own experiences, that empowers us. That says, since we created it, we can uncreate it and change it into something else. So that's my hope. My hope is that people realize that they are responsible for everything in their lives, and they can change it accordingly.
Yeah, Kathy Bogaloo says, yes, it's a spiritual dogfight. Stay strong. I have a question from Merck in New Zealand.
Yes.
And so it's relevant to there. Is there a tool or a tool or tools that we can use to prevent ourselves being hooked by one of these satellite programming devices?
Yes, absolutely. And in my work, I teach the ultimate protection technique, where you visualize yourself in a violet tetrahedron, which is inside a violet octahedron. And that will block any ELF microwave from bombarding you. You can even create a mirror on the outside facing towards the outside so that anything coming towards you is then reflected back to the sender. I also teach the use of the brown merger symbol at the pineal gland, which acts as a reintegration of the fractured personality. So between those two points, the brown merger and the ultimate protection, you can remain intact and pretty much blocked from further or subsequent programming. But you have to be mindful of it and not just become complacent. You have to work on this ongoing.
So now I've got personally terrible problems visualizing things. But kind of, you know, like trying to imagine things. I'm quite good at building things, but I'm not very good at the form of things somehow.
Let me just say something.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Because a lot of people tell me, they say, oh, I can't visualize, I can't see. And then I ask them, well, can you daydream? And almost 100% say, yeah, I can daydream. So then I say, if you can daydream, you can visualize. The difference is, in a daydream, it's something you're kind of fantasizing about or dreaming about, and the visualization, you're focusing on something specific that you need. And there's really not much of a difference, except for the actual focal point. Mm. So my answer is, if you can daydream, you can visualize. And, of course, use visual aids if you need to. It's quite acceptable.
So actually having a little copper tetrahedron, you can make one out of little pieces of copper wire. I actually made my first star tetrahedron with pipe cleaners.
Okay.
I had nothing. I knew I needed to make one. Because that was one image that I did get in my head a few years ago. Every morning I woke up, and there was this thing in my head, which is this image of a star tetrahedron, which is two tetrahedrons pointing
One up, one down.
One up, one down. and it wouldn't go away for days until I looked around and what have I got to, you know, I need to make it. I needed to sort of have it physically in front of me, and all I could find was a bunch of pipe cleaners. So I made this very kind of wobbly form. Mm-hmm. And you know, subsequent to that, I managed to get the thing out of my head. It wouldn't go away until I've actually made one in my hand.
Well, JP, there's a lot of stuff in your head that needs to come out, really.
I know. and maybe one day on the radio I might be able to.
Well, the world would explode if that happens. But you know what, JP? If people go to my website, expansions.com, there are a lot of images on there that they can use for their visualizations and to help them as visual aids that will help them accomplish the imagery that they need.
Okay, so can I break one down? I mean, what you were saying, like for protection, you've got you imagine, first of all, that you're in a violet tetrahedron. So it's made of some kind of a violet material, let's say.
Is that right? Whatever.
Is it like a frame, or is it?
It's, you know, visualize, if you want violet plexiglass, you know, sheets of plexiglass forming the tetrahedron around you, if that makes it easier. Right. And then once you've done that portion, then build an octahedron in violet around that, keeping the tetrahedron in the center of it.
Right. Now, the other thing is I'm really bad with colors. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. what's known as colorblind. Imagining various colors like violet, it's difficult for me to imagine a violet thing. What mm-hmm. in the world is violet apart from, of course, the flower?
Well, people do get mixed up. That's a very good question, and people do get mixed up between violet and purple, which are really two different colors, and though many people interchange them, it's not correct. Violet is like an amethyst color. So if you can get a sample of an amethyst stone mm-hmm. and look at the color of that, that would be the violet color you would use for the protection technique.
Right. That's very good, because there's a kind of reddish color that people mm-hmm. call violet, but it's that's more like mauve or purple, isn't it?
Yeah, there's many. There's lavender, there's mauve, there's purple. There's so many different ones, and if you go online and you look up the color codes for paint companies, it makes you insane, because they have like 5,000 names for the same color.
But it appears to be,
I don't recommend doing that. I just say, you know, get a hold of an amethyst, look at that, that's violet.
Right, okay, so the color of amethyst is the color of the plexiglass. So you could imagine that you're sitting inside a tetrahedral mm-hmm, amethyst, mm-hmm. couldn't you?
Exactly.
That's very interesting. All right, that's because you know it's hard to make things real, particularly for my brain, and I'm also doing it on behalf of my audience, you know, who.
It's all that hot air from England blowing up.
I know. I wonder where it's all going to.
That's global warming. Right?
Yeah, global warming ends up in Siberia, melts the ice caps, and we're all flooded. Yeah.
Except, you know, it's so funny, speaking of that topic, just as an aside, it's so humorous to me. Every year on June, July, August, they say on the news, the ice has melted in the north, and there's free-flowing water, and, you know, it's like, that's because it's summer. They don't say that in January. They only say that in July, and people go, "Oh my God, the ice caps are melting." Well, you know, yeah, of course, it's summertime. The ice is going to melt a little bit.
It's supposed to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's just stay north and see if you have any insight on this. I saw a YouTube recently about the Inuit tribe. Mm-hmm. Of the northern Canada, who people will call Eskimos and things like that, but they they have been talking on this video about their summer. That traditionally their summer has had Is it summer? Or is it winter? Hang on, I'm getting confused here. They're winter, that's right. The days, the daylight time available to them in the winter used to be 1 hour a day. And this year, it's been 2 hours. Can you think of any explanation for why?
Yes, and that is because of a slight tilt in the Earth's magnetic field. The magnetic poles that had shifted, not the physical pole, but the magnetic pole that has shifted and skewered the way the Earth receives sunlight. However, interestingly, I just read information from sources outside of the United States that says historically, when they look through ancient records, that the drought conditions and the warmer air in the northern part of the world temporarily is usually a sign of the developing ice age, that there's this interim period where these things occur, drought, warmer weather, strange seasonal abnormalities, but then they're quickly dissipated in a year or two, and then the onset of ice age begins.
Damn.
Which is just what Russian scientists said last year when they predicted 2014 as the beginning of the next ice age. Now, I know from people that I deal with in the Southern Hemisphere, and I just was in the Southern Hemisphere, they're having the coldest winter ever down there, and a lot of snow and rain and in the northern parts of the Southern Hemisphere. So it's very, very cold down there. And as far as pieces of Antarctica breaking off and blaming that on global warming, that's really not the case. The sections on the coast of Antarctica where large chunks of ice are breaking off are only in areas where undersea volcanoes are erupting and creating very warm water conditions in that specific location that cause the ice to fracture and break off. But the internal areas of Antarctica are experiencing record cold temperatures, and the ice in Antarctica is thicker than ever recorded before.
Ah, so all this stuff about the great big ice shelf falling into the sea and making tsunamis and spreading all over the world, BS, yeah?
Fear-mongering by those in power so that they can impose certain rules and regulations that everybody will acquiesce to.
And more importantly, most importantly, a tax. Global tax
exactly.
on existence,
yes.
Essentially.
There you go, and that's exactly it.
Wow. Right, well, that sold the world. Thank you very much, Stuart Sweater. No.
Well, my job here is done.
there's a question coming up, and it goes back to the last point, so... right, is there a difference, they ask, between imagining and visualizing?
Yes. Imagining is when you're basically using the creative abilities of the right brain, which has the spiritual, creative, emotional side.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're imagining something for whatever particular purpose you have in mind. Whereas visualization, you are using both the left and right hand sides of the brain, using the logical and creative side, focusing at the pineal gland at the middle, which pulls the two sides together in order to have the imagery of the visualization. It's actually helping to manifest something. Whereas imagination, you're not manifesting, you're simply keeping it in the creative, non-physical side.
Right. Well, thank you. That's a very good definition, I think. And
I know. I'm dizzy from telling you all that.
Excellent. So, right. Now, where were we? We were talking about global... And you've actually been to Antarctica.
I have been, yes.
And that must have been a fascinating journey.
To say the least.
I bet, because I remember you were talking about like this massive amount of travel that you've been doing, and you said that it was quite a rough journey.
Yes,
but would you be happy to share some of like the details of that rough journey? You know, just let's see how much you've suffered for everybody.
Well, you know, it's in retrospect, it's almost comical. But you know, when I went through it, it was very, very disturbing. Of course, most of the time, you have to go to Antarctica by ship. And you have to leave from usually Ushuaia, which is the southernmost city in the world and the southern point of Argentina. And you travel across the Drake Passage, which is the roughest water on the world.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes. And although going down, when we went down from Ushuaia, I thought it was a bit rough. Little did I know, that was just a little tease. And once you get to Antarctica, it actually does calm down quite a bit, and it's actually quite pastoral. Mm. Now, we went in January 2010, which January is their summer. It's the height of the Antarctic summer. And I will tell you that it never got above freezing 0 centigrade, even in the height of the summer. We even had snowfall in the summertime. When the sun did come out, it was very pleasant, but it was still cold. So, you know, as far as the ice melting and glaciers falling, no, we did not see anything like that. It was quite covered in ice and snow. We saw a lot of abundant wildlife, penguins, seals, whales, Arctic birds. It was quite beautiful and lovely. But, you know, we didn't go there for sightseeing. We went there for research and investigation. And we stopped in several research stations in Antarctica, Ukrainian, British, Chilean, Argentinian. And in fact, in the British, one of the British stations, there was a placard that said that the station was built to monitor the enemy. So I said to myself and to those who would listen, who's the enemy? Are there like terrorist penguins here who are threatening the world? Mm. Who's the enemy in Antarctica? Of course, if you know about history, you know that from 1938 to 1944, the Third Reich was in the process of building what they call the Paradise for the Führer in Neuschwabenland, which is under Antarctica in the territory controlled by Norway. And for listeners, they should know that Antarctica is divvied up to certain countries that are felt deserve pieces of Antarctica and Norway. And because Norway discovered it, they gave them a big chunk. And of course, shortly after the Germans decided to build the paradise, they invaded Norway, so then it became under German jurisdiction. And they used South Africa and Chile and Argentina as staging areas because they were closest to this location to build the underground area in the Neuschwabenland. And, you know, after the war, 1945, when the Russians and the Americans and the British invaded the German territory, they got to the island of Peenemünde, which is, for all intents and purposes, was the German version of Area 51 in the North Sea, where they had their secret development of aircraft and weaponry. And there they found documentation that the Germans had not only built this underground base in Antarctica, but had a series of underground bases in South America and Africa where they were conducting secret scientific experiments, both genetic, electromagnetic, etc. They found diagrams of the aircraft that they were building called Vril, V-R-I-L, that were able to travel 5,000 kilometers per hour back in 1942.
Yes.
Yes. And they also found documentation that the Germans claim to have been in contact with an alien group from the star system of Aldebaran, who gave them a lot of technological information that helped them to develop all of this. And those of you who read German, there is a book called Flugscheiben über Schwabenland, which is, as far as I know, only available in Europe and only certain parts of Europe, which documents everything that I'm telling you here. And it was written by two German researchers, one of whom mysteriously was murdered.
Really?
Yes. And so, interestingly, last month I was doing lectures and consultations in South Africa, and I talked about this. And after one of my lectures, a woman who was an Afrikaner, and the Afrikaners are the white German-Dutch South Africans, mm-hmm. and she came up to me. She says, you know, she says, a lot of what you're talking about reminds me of one of our Afrikaner prophets who back in the 1920s said that when it becomes difficult for the whites in South Africa in the future, that the Germans will come up from underground in the Kalahari and rescue us.
Cool.
And I thought that was interesting because I have been talking a lot about the underground tunnels that go from South Africa underneath the ocean to Antarctica, from the Cape area down to Antarctica, and these Afrikaners knew all about it.
Wow.
So well, that's very fascinating to me.
It must be hard to conceal something like that so completely.
Well, I spoke to a lot of people, and there's a lot of secret entrances in the mountain ranges in South Africa that are covered up or sealed by the government, and they know that there's many mysterious things that happen there and that they lead into inner earth locations. Mm. So, and even Credo Mutwa talks about this in his videos. So, yes, there's a lot going on in Antarctica. And just to complete the story, in 1946, 1 year after the end of World War II, the Americans and the British sent a huge fleet to Antarctica, a war fleet. And so there was many battles that went on there with whom was never identified, but 50 American airmen lost their lives. And this went on from the end of 1946 to the beginning of 1947. I believe it was an 8-month campaign. And then apparently the Americans and the British were defeated by whatever was down there, and they returned home. And that's when these bases started to be built on the surface to monitor the enemy.
Right, so that's fascinating. That actually answers a question that was asked in the chat room. What's the deal with the underground ship base and the mm-hmm. ship stroke base and the supposed fight between humans and non-humans around World War II?
Yes.
So you would say that these were the real craft.
Yeah. And they now refer to themselves as the Fourth Reich.
Fourth Reich, yeah.
And when I was in Germany and Austria this past March, I met with people that I knew there, and they said, yes, we know the Fourth Reich exists. They're even here now in Germany and Austria. And they said it's going to come up. It's rising up again.
Yeah. So I saw a film recently called Iron Sky.
Yes. I heard of this. Which, by the way, is not shown in the U.S.
Isn't it?
No.
Oh, wow. Well, it was made in Finland.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a really interesting place to start, and it's hilarious. It really is quite funny, there's a lot of CGI, but they basically portrayed the Germans as having, or the Nazis as having very iron technologies. You know, everything's mm-hmm. made of iron, and it's like big and heavy. But they have the real craft, the discs, mm-hmm. and this enormous Götterdämmerung thing. You know, I'd recommend it. You could probably get it down on a torrent if anybody's interested in the States to get it.
I understand in the movie, the most comical part is that I believe it takes place in 2016 or 17 or something like this.
Yeah.
And the president of the U.S. is Sarah Palin.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And she's got this...
That's the scariest part of all. The heck with the Germans. She's president. Right. That's scary enough.
Oh, it didn't work for her. All right, okay. Well, we'll see if we can find a better torrent. It was a very fun film. I've got more questions. That's a very good question, actually. This is, again, from Merck in New Zealand. Does the war over the Falkland Islands have anything to do with the Nazis, etc.?
Absolutely. First of all, the Falkland Islands have huge inner earth openings that go directly, not only into Antarctica, but into the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, which is the series of mountains that used to be part of Atlantis. Mm. And so, yes, whoever controls that region controls a lot of access to hidden technology and history.
So it's not just a bunch of sheep lovers.
Would Britain fight over a couple of rocks sticking out of the water?
No, you wouldn't think so. So there was a lot of subtext about that.
There's much more to that than they allow on the news.
Yes, and that's why we love having you on the shows, because you see all that stuff.
Oh, it's just because I bake cake and bring it to you.
That's also true. Fantastic cake. Actually, I really enjoyed. I watched one of your wife's videos about the baking soda and the molasses.
To remove tumor.
Yeah. And parasites and just everything from
yes. She made me eat that, and my brain disappeared.
So they got you a new one?
No.
just empty space.
Can't you tell?
What's your favorite cake?
You know, I don't really like cake.
No?
No, I don't. I'm not a sweet eater, you know, I don't like sweets that much.
Oh, lucky you.
Yeah. I like, you know, like proteins and that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Mm. You probably like eating broccoli, don't you?
I actually do. I do like broccoli. Organic, of course.
Of course. And that's why you're slim, and that's, you know. Anyway, meanwhile.
Yes, my pants are falling down as we speak.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah.
Enough. Settle down. So, where should we go from here? We've got about 8 minutes to the end of this hour, and I think maybe we'll discuss the Olympic situation in the next hour. So, have you seen anything else in the news that's caught your eye?
Well, one thing which has kind of been buried lately is the whole situation going on in the EU economically, and the Greeks and the Italians and the Spaniards and all of that, because, as you know, I've said that the Germans are already reprinting the Deutschmark. Yes. And they intend to recreate their own version of the EU with the northern countries and kind of dump the Mediterranean region. And that whole thing has been, you know, blocked by the news. It's hardly even on there, at least here. There's not much being said about it anymore. You know, at one time it was the only thing on the news. So that tells me, when they hide a story, that there's something going on that they won't reveal until it's too late to do anything about it.
All right.
So I would suspect, I would suspect something's going on economically in Europe that will be a surprise when it's revealed.
Mm. Well, there's from what I've seen, there's a lot of protest that's going on in Spain. Did you see the firemen?
No, I didn't see that.
The firemen in Spain have been striking. And they all went up to the Parliament building and all pulled their trousers down and mooned them. Mooning.
That's lovely. That's just lovely. Yeah.
And so, you know, the people of Europe are starting to say, you know, no, we don't want this. We don't want bankers. We're fed up with these people. Mm-hmm. Iceland, as you're probably aware, has taken out a private investigations into the bankers mm-hmm. themselves, mm-hmm. and
yes,
that's a very heartening story.
Well, you know, Iceland got screwed by the EU.
Yeah.
You know, their whole economy was sabotaged purposely so that they would have to be pulled into the EU. And the Icelandic people did not want that. They liked their independence.
Yeah,
and so I'm good for them for fighting back.
Yeah, I was. I have a friend. In fact, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Alex! I was up at his house the other night, and we were talking about Iceland and Norway. And he said basically the Icelandic people used to live in Norway, and they did a pilgrim thing. You know, that they left and colonized Iceland in order to get away from the Norwegians. It does have that kind of new world energy to it.
Yes.
And you know, going back to the Nazi thing, that there are a lot of underground bases in Norway still from the Germans.
Yeah, especially in the northern part.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tromsø and that area, Kirkenes. There's also underground tubes that go from northern Norway to Svalbard or Spitsbergen in the Arctic Circle area. Mm. And it's curious that that's where Prince Charles built that huge underground bunker to house all the plant seeds to save in case something happens to the world.
Oh, yes. Well, it'd be nice to save it just in case something happens to Monsanto and we can repopulate.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. But, you know, what seeds are they saving in there?
Exactly. Well, probably they're going to try and slap a patent on all of them.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting is that they put they said, oh, it's going to be safe over there. Well, you know, Svalbard sits on top of the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, which is a major fault line.
Fault line.
Yes, you know, there's volcanic activity. Like, okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's there's a lot of. I mean, that's where the planet is expanding as well, isn't it?
If the planet would stop eating sugar, it wouldn't expand so much.
No, it's that cake.
I'm telling you.
The planet needs to eat more broccoli.
Yes, more proteins.
So, yeah, now we've got about 3 minutes left, and I'll put on a track. Actually, you know what I want to do? I want to play Deborah Windham's tune that she made just for you.
Excellent.
Which is called The Atmosphere. And this is the tune that we use as your theme tune. Obviously, we take a little section out of it for the mm-hmm. 1 minute of the theme tune. But people are going to be treated to the whole theme tune this afternoon by Deborah Windham. Do you know her personally?
Yes. She's a very good friend of mine, and she's a fantastic musician.
Excellent. So, We'll stick that on now. This will give everybody a chance to go and make themselves a cup of tea, stretch their legs, come up with more questions, particularly relevant because we're going to be talking about the Olympic Stadium and the East of London and all of that stuff in the next hour. So stay with us, stay tuned. You're listening to Stuart Swerdlow on Ever Beyond. Welcome back to Ever Beyond. Tonight I'm talking with Stuart Swerdlow, and before I come back with Stuart this evening, I just want to make a little announcement. Due to various lawsuits that are pending against and rather unfounded, Dave and Wolf Spirit Radio, we do ask for donations. If you can find your way to putting a few pounds, a few dollars, or a few krona or Deutschmarks into our PayPal account, the more people, the better. You just need to put, if you can just give us a small amount of money, it would be great. We're trying to collect together to defend against this rather random and spurious person who's decided to sue Wolf Spirit Radio just for having a particular guest on. So we're collecting for that. So there's a donate button, and if you put in Wolf Spirit Radio Defense Fund or something like that, we'd be greatly appreciative. And thank you very much for that. And so, back to Stuart Swerdlow. Greetings, Stuart. You're back.
Yes, I am. I'm sorry to hear about all that stuff.
Yeah, it's a rather weird thing, and it's completely, you know, it's one of these kind of hysterically litigious people, and it's really nothing to do with Dave apart from supporting one of our hosts. So it's an odd little thing.
Well, that's what the world has come to, unfortunately. Pick on petty things that mean nothing in the scheme of it. Mm. And while all the other stuff is going on.
That's right. Now, as far as I'm concerned, it's distraction. It's a, you know, it's like a,
yes.
Yes. A distraction thing. So
exactly.
Yes. So, here we are. The Olympics of 2012. Now, we've been talking about all the different ceremonies that we've had this year so far. We had the Super Bowl thing with, now that was with Madonna, wasn't it? And then all the other, the Oscars ceremony, no, it was the MTV Awards. And anyway, all these little shows that the Illuminati have been putting out for us to keep us entertained. So, now I know you've probably spoken at length at on various shows about the Olympics so far and on your own podcast, but would you be able to give us a good lowdown on what's going on, because it's really fresh. It's going to be really fresh in people's minds by the time it starts, which is only a few days away, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think it's only 5 days from now, isn't it?
Wow.
So yeah, it's coming up really quick, and the big red flag to me initially, that besides everything else, was the fact that the British put ground-to-air missiles on the rooftops of private homes in the area, which leads to the question: what are they expecting to come attack from the sky?
Exactly.
And so then I think, okay, could this possibly be the most perfect venue for the staged alien invasion to take hold? Because billions of people will be watching the Olympics. They'll be focused on this. And what better place when the whole world is watching one spot to have something happen like that, to stage an event that will be of a global proportion. And so I'm not saying that it definitely will happen that way, but it certainly looks like things are pointing towards that, especially in the first part of the show. We talked about the what I call global rituals that have occurred leading up to the Olympic time period. That, to me, signifies a major event that they're planning. And they always use death as part of their ritual to absorb the energy, to enhance it, to bombard with it, so that their global event is intensified. So I do expect something to happen there.
Yes.
And my guess would be, you know, that the best thing they could do at this point is the staged alien invasion or something related to that.
Hmm. Yeah, well, the AK-AK guns on people's roofs is a giveaway for, like, they're expecting something to come from the air. Now, don't know how many people in caves have abilities to control things from the air.
Exactly.
But I do know somebody in a five-sided building who control lots of things from the air.
Yes.
And so there's the possibility that... Okay, so can we run through some of the possible scenarios? I mean, I know it's always the one that we'd never thought about, but there may be some elements that we can possibly expect, and that will take the element of surprise away. Because from what I've seen over the last few years, and from the studies that I've been doing on false flag events, is that they'll always use a secret technology. Something that has been patented but is not in the public domain. For instance, with 9/11, they had beam weapons, scalar beam weapons that were apparently hosted in the Philippines, and they were bounced off what are called round vehicles, real craft. That they would create a mirror that could then be focused and bounced onto the Twin Towers, which literally vaporized the inside of them, so that they could easily collapse on the inside. And there were various other technologies, and we know that Hillary Clinton was a patent lawyer, that Michelle Obama, I think, was also a patent lawyer. Is that correct?
I'm not sure about what her legal profession was, but
I know that she had something to do with Bhopal.
Yes, in India.
Yes, which was a Union Carbide factory that exploded, and it killed and maimed hundreds of thousands of people, and still hasn't been resolved. You know, they've never apologized or said sorry or anything like that.
Yes. Well, you know, most likely, I would say. Whatever they're going to do during the Olympics probably won't happen in the first day or so. I think they want people to be comfortable, to feel like everything is okay. And then when you least suspect it, that's when they will do something. My understanding is that the security company that is handling the Olympic venues are specifically looking now to target employees who they will consider to be incompetent, that they'll be able to blame for allowing whatever happens to happen, or at least making it worse than it would have been. So I know that's going on. I also know that there's a lot of activity in Britain involving Blue Beam Project, UFOs in the sky, things being seen, in the atmosphere. And Blue Beam Project, as I've mentioned many times, it's really an old technology. It was first tested in 1962 in Havana Harbor when a U.S. Navy submarine surfaced off the coast and transmitted an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary over the Havana Harbor, so that the communist nation would feel like they need to revert back to their old ways. So add 50 years to that in technology, and we know that Blue Beam Project now has the capacity to be picked up on radar as if it were a solid object. It can produce sound. It can create imagery where it feels real. I think most of the people are going to be fooled by what they project now.
The idea that there'd been where was it when you said sound? That's right. It was I can't remember. It's about 6 months ago. A lot of people were saying I could hear these booms.
Well, it was this loud, weird noise. To me, it almost sounded like sheets of metal rolling or being, flipped in the air. That made like this rolling metallic noise. Mm. That's what it sounded like to me. Mm. And it seemed to come from everywhere at the same time. In broad daylight at night, it didn't matter. It didn't matter what the weather was. I think that's just testing the sound capacity of Bluebeam. Globally, because it happened on almost every continent.
Yeah.
It's all leading up. I mean, if you put all the pieces together over the last few months, it looks like a massive testing of a technology leading up to a major event.
Wow.
That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree, Stuart. So, the nature of what might be the event. Now, people have talked about... All right, so, hang on. Yeah, we're talking about the possible scenarios a possibility that a great big UFO may arrive and sit itself above the stadium. Now, I've heard... This is years ago, I remember this, is that people have been having dreams about this very event. I can't even remember if... I think it might have been somebody in our chat room years ago. It was about 2 or 3 years ago. Said, yes, I had this big dream about a great big UFO that arrived over a stadium. And it seemed really real to them and la-di-da-di-da. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say that's Bluebeam programming, aren't you?
It's Green Star programming, where the person is programmed to expect and participate in an event that's staged, and Green Star is about alien information, alien contact, etc. Mm-hmm. And all of that's being activated too. In the last couple of years, but particularly in the last few months, there's been tremendous amounts of news on the conventional services talking about Earth-like planets being discovered, possible reptilian life forms out there in the universe, all these kinds. I mean, one thing after another. It's almost as if they're just little by little downloading and imprinting everybody to expect that there are aliens out there. And they're very close. And in fact, wasn't it just in April or March when was it NASA or some related agency said, well, we think by 2014 we might even discover an alien life form. They even told you the year. So it's like, how do they know that unless they're planning it?
Yeah.
And so all of these things, and quite honestly, the public out there, the masses of people who go about their business and their main concern now is how to, pay their bills and keep their homes and et cetera, they really don't care about what's going on in outer space. They're not paying attention to that. They're paying attention to what's going on in front of their face every day in their office and in their homes because they want to keep both.
Yes.
So that's part of the diversion, is to keep people so concerned about their daily life, getting food and having money and surviving, that most of those people do not care who's in charge of what anywhere. They just want to get through the day. And so that's why we don't have the interest or the attention that I feel should be out there in what's going on.
So, first of all, we're being distracted.
Yes.
Mainly. So that nobody bothers to, nobody's got the time to investigate the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then anybody who also investigates the truth, people like us, are discredited and labeled as conspiracy theorists. Yeah. Oh, God.
Looney Toonies,
Looney
yes.
Toon. Mm-hmm. And which paves the way for everybody just being able to soak this whole thing up. Now, my personal involvement is that I was born in East London. And my sister lives 5 minutes walking distance from the stadium. And so my first concern is, okay, well, I've heard about the UFO thing, the Green Star idea. But there's also another idea that there will be a large explosion, and that the ground underneath the stadium itself is full of thorium, a radioactive element that has a massive half-life, making the place dirty for hundreds of thousands of years. What have you heard about that, Stuart?
Well, I have heard things like this, but here's my thoughts on this. Okay. Why would they contaminate this, what they consider to be the capital of the world, London, for hundreds of thousands of years, making it unusable? Why would they do that? I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. I think perhaps it's better that they would create a global scare really global in nature, not really centered in London only, but something that would affect everyone on the earth, and that's why they have all the nations of the earth in one place, so that people are focused on that. I think destroying a section of London or contaminating it that way would be not served for purpose.
Yes. But there's all right. So that's one argument against that. There was a Rockefeller Foundation document. Have you heard about this one?
Yes.
That was written from, say, a future perspective to say there was a disaster in London that involved 13,000 people in 2012.
I don't believe that story.
You don't?
No.
Okay, that's good. Rumors abound.
Well, I've heard so many things, this one from the future, and that, look, they don't ever, and even if those things did happen, and I'm sure that they do, that would not be on the internet. You know, if it did, it would be on for 2 seconds and be removed by the Illuminati. They wouldn't allow that on there. So I think that's more scare tactics, diversion. It's triggering. It's actually triggering people into programs related to end times and Green Star. I don't believe that those are legitimate pieces of information.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good. Because, I saw that and I thought, that's a bit close to my sister. So I actually rang her a couple of weeks ago. We don't speak much, we're a very kind of distant family. But I rang her a couple of weeks ago and spoke to her and said, so are you going to be in town through the Olympics? Because, even on a very practical physical playing level, it's going to be a nightmare. I know that area. And there's one road that feeds this place, apart from the motorway. But the local road is jam-packed for like 6 hours a day. Because it's just a single-lane road that has to cope with all the traffic coming in from Essex to the inside of London. She said that they're going to be having a wee holiday. Leaving town for that period of time, at least for the beginning of it anyway.
Yes. Well, it's always wise to get away from areas like that, even when you don't think anything bad's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a nightmare, whatever way you're going to cut it.
But the interesting thing is that the Olympics end, I believe, on August 12th.
Yes.
And that is Montauk Day.
That is also what we call in Britain the Glorious Twelfth.
Is it? Is it glorious?
It's glorious because it's the hunting, killing, shooting spree of the Toffs.
Ah, my favorite day.
It's the opening of the grouse season.
I see.
And particularly in places where I live up here, I live on what's known as a country estate. And it's a second world country. It's owned by a laird, a lord of this very small area, like a couple of hundred acres or something like that. Mm-hmm. He's the laird, and they hire out the land, and they have people who go into the bushes and beat them, and they try to make the grouse, what are they called, pheasants. come out, and you know, the pheasants are the most stupid bird on the planet. they fly really slowly. They're great big fat heavy things, and you know, it takes an awful lot of energy to get them out, and so they're completely easy.
Oh my target. God, you just described my ex-wife.
Oh, bless your heart. I hope she's not listening.
I hope not either, because I'm in big trouble. Well, she's 1,000 miles away, so I mean, I can run.
Yeah, I'm 3,000 miles away.
Oh, that's right.
Be careful, Stuart, be careful. So the 12th is a very interesting day. So, Montauk Day. Tell us about Montauk Day.
Well, you know, Montauk was from 1970-1983, but the project crashed on August 12th, 1983, when the story goes that the psychic who was in the chair, the Montauk chair, had an issue and created this energetic creature that was brought in from another dimension that started ripping apart the project. And in order to spit, they had to literally rip the equipment apart and dismantle it instantly. And that brought the project to an end. And that was known as Montauk Day, which was August 12th.
Oh, right. Very interesting. Very interesting. Yes. There are other indicators. Cliff Hyer, are you aware of who Cliff Hyer is?
Vaguely.
The Webbop guy.
Yes.
He put out a blog a few days ago to say that his feeling about a false flag event is not that it's the opening ceremony, that it's the closing ceremony on the 12th.
Yeah. I see. I don't think it's going to be in the beginning. Yeah. I think they want people to get a false sense of security, to feel, you know. I don't know if it'll wait till the very end day, but it would make sense that August 12th would be a day something would happen.
Yeah. It's got that nice symmetry of 12, 8, 12, and 8's good luck, isn't it?
Well, it's an oversoul number.
Oversoul number.
Yeah. So, well, it's we're going to see. We'll see what happens.
We will. It should be a very interesting thing. So, So Montauk Day. So, tell us a little bit more about that, because I've heard vaguely about the story, but you were kind of there at some point in that, and you knew. Do you still know people who were involved with that incident?
Well, some, but you know, JP, not that I want to brag, but I am a movie star now.
I know. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy.
You know, I will not forget all the little people. Well, maybe some of them.
Yeah, maybe one or two.
But yeah, the Montauk Chronicles movie is out. It had a premiere in New York where I was there. And then I actually opened the film in Cape Town, South Africa last month. And there are many, many more openings scheduled in the coming weeks and months. So that story is out. Mm. And the interesting thing is that for many, many years, nobody wanted to hear about it. People were condemning the story, calling it a hoax, you name it. They would discredit everything. Then, all of a sudden, about 3 years ago, maybe a little bit less, it became a very popular topic all of a sudden. TV shows would call me about it, radio shows, movies started to come out. I mean, well, before I knew it, Montauk became the in, conspiracy topic. And now whenever I'm on the radio or do any kind of media, that's all I want to talk about is the Montauk Project. Ah. So that tells me, again, that because the global conventional media is suddenly interested in this, then something related to that is going to happen in some kind of an event.
So do you think it may be something to do with like a manifestation kind of scenario, or apparent manifest? Well, hang on. So let's talk about the technology that we know that they've got. That we know that they've been testing. And that is the blue beam technology, mm-hmm. which can produce yes. holographic, three dimensional, very mm-hmm. real looking images.
Yes,
yes. It can create sounds and lighting effects. So they can basically do whatever they can do in a CGI. Are they up to that level? Whatever they can do, like, you know, any special effect that they would have in a movie, they mm-hmm. can do real time?
Oh, yeah, they can do that. But the one technology people are overlooking is the Hadron Collider outside of Switzerland, yeah. in Geneva, because what they're doing there is purposely attempting to collapse or merge alternate realities into this one, and they are specifically targeting realities or alternate parallel universes where the Illuminati are already in power, and then merging that into this one to enhance their abilities here. Mm-hmm. So that's going on behind the scenes, and what people don't realize is that even the Vatican is involved. The Vatican has a big office at the Hadron. Why would the Vatican have an office at the Hadron Collider?
Yeah, and why would they have Kali?
Well, yes, and plus there are vast underground tunnel systems that I know for a fact lead from the underneath the Hadron Collider, going under the lake in Geneva, that go into France, into Italy, and other parts of Europe and the world, that no one is allowed to go into unless they have a very, very high security clearance.
Yeah. Right. So we got underground tunnels. Mm-hmm. We got Blue Boom Technologies. Mm-hmm. We have Montauk technology. Now, mm-hmm. what possible Montauk technology would be implemented at an event like that?
Well, Montauk, one of the major experiments was mind control and programming. Mm. So that here you and what they do is they target large groups of people in a specific location. And what better venue, again, to have people from all over the world in one spot, all the frequencies mixed in together, and then you target that, and then those people are able to be used as beacons to broadcast that frequency to their own home locations and genetics. So in effect, by bombarding one location, you are affecting the entire planet. It's like putting an injection in the morphogenetic grid in a specific location that then replicates outward to all over. So that's one aspect of what Montauk was able to do. Another thing is interdimensional connections, so that if they are able to bring in entities or energies from the lower astral, which are very close to the physical reality, they basically create a vortex where these beings can pass through unhindered. So there's an opening ripped there. Another factor. And not only that, but Montauk was also about esoteric weaponry, creating also seismic activity, volcanic activity, weather pattern changes. Everything that we're seeing happening on the face of the Earth right now was tested and experimented on at the Montauk Project.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's like everything culminating into one big event in one location that can replicate outward and affect everywhere.
Okay, so that's another very interesting but rather disturbing character aspect of
mm-hmm.
it.
Yes.
And then I'm drawn to think about germ warfare. All
yes.
it would take was a couple of light bulbs full of anthrax or some other nasty thing to be dropped into the field, and the crowd would get it, and it may be slow acting or binary, you know, that it would be activated by some other thing, and people from all over the world would be going home and spreading this disease, and nobody would even know about it until it started to be activated.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. But, you know, I look at that too, and I think, okay, look, the Illuminati did not spend hundreds and hundreds of years and so many resources and so much money to create a huge slave race to then kill them out. What's the point of that?
Yeah.
You know, it's like building this fantastic mansion and then burning it to the ground. What's the purpose? So I personally, I know I disagree with a lot of people out there, but I personally don't believe that their part of their agenda is to destroy humanity or to kill off huge groups of people. Mm. Instead, I think their agenda is to create colonies off-world where they take large amounts of people and transport them elsewhere to expand their empire and create a galactic empire like the Draco had. So I think that seems like a more likely scenario for what they have in mind.
Well, that's very interesting, because this is, I don't know if there's, I mean, the Green Star is what you've given this a term for, but this is the scenario where it's not a scary thing, mm-hmm. that it appears to be a friendly UFO that says, hey, we got a really nice planet for you, who wants to come?
Well, doesn't that remind you of the movie V, where these reptilians come dressed like humans, and then they're actually going to eat them?
Yeah,
you know, it kind of reminds me of that.
And they made the sky go red and blue, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Something like that. Yeah. But I really think what I see it as. Yes, there are hostile forces out there that's what will be promoted, mm-hmm. Because they have to create a fear. They have to create a fear issue,
yeah.
That will unite the world under one government. Gives the New World Order justification for one government globally that people will accept.
Mm.
You know, because there's a reason to accept it. And then I feel they're going to bring in a savior race that will chase away this attacker. We may never even know what the attackers look like or where they come from.
Mm.
But the savior race will be presented as reptilians who are actually our granddaddies. You know, they made us. And so they'll be welcomed. And then you can bring in the staged second coming of Christ, implement the new world religion, and this new Christ can proclaim the new world order as his new holy empire. And so they have a nice, neat package wrapped up in one by creating these staged events that are not real, but people think they're real, so they acquiesce to whatever rules and regulations are imposed.
Very good point there, that they appear real.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded of the way that Stanley Kubrick used slow motion in his film 2001 to program us to mm-hmm. think that when you're walking on the moon, everything's in slow motion.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was the only way that they could make something appear kind of odd when they were trying to fake the videos.
Right, but then when you speed up the videos, it looks like they're just walking.
They're just walking, and bouncing around on wires that you could
uh-huh.
see. So that's a very interesting. It's like what's that? There must be a word for it. It's like grooming us for seeing the memes. So like we see in 9/11, you see the plane hitting the building, and then this huge fireball coming out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's just like in the movies when they want to blow a car up. You know, if a real right. car blows up, yes, it goes right. It doesn't go boom. Only in the movies do they go boom.
Right.
I was talking to my Icelandic friend who, they're out on the edge there, and he was working on a welding torch on a broken old car, and. It did, in fact, burst into flames. Luckily, he had just jumped off it before it did that. And he said it was almost silent the way it started, but the whole thing was engulfed in seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the same kind of movie effect. So what we're talking about is there may be staged explosive effects,
yes,
like
yes.
built into the infrastructure of the building.
Mm-hmm.
This could be another thing, like they had in the World Trade Center, because you could see on some of the films, some of these things went off early, and so you see the
yeah.
thing blow up, and then the plane hits the building,
mm-hmm.
and all of that stuff, sort of.
Yes, that's true. I did see that.
now? So we've got the possibility that it's that you'll see one UFO, and then another one come and rescue us immediately. Do you think that will be like played out in front of everybody?
Well, it's not going to be like a UFO. It's going to be a fleet. Mm. You know, it's going to be like, you know, a massive attack. So that's, you know, and you know, when Wernher von Braun was on his deathbed,
yes,
he said, you know, one of the things they planned was a staged alien invasion to make people agree to a global government.
Yes.
And even the Germans were planning that at some point.
That's right.
So that's just part of the scenario of what they have in store. And the information's out there. I mean, people can look it up if they want to, but you know, apparently not everybody does that.
Yeah. This is Carol Rosen, she of the great hair, she's always saying, you know, and the last card, said von Braun, and the last card was the stage, and this whole thing that it's, you know, it is a game, and it's played with cards, They're playing their hands. Do you think? Right. So, enough of the scaremongering. How do we deal with it? I mean, is it possible? How can we convince other people that this might be the scenario that's going to happen? I mean, is there anything that could, like, I know I'm asking the impossible. Are there any kind of magic ways that we can convince people that this is something that might happen, or that we could? If it did happen, say very simply, look, that's obviously da da da.
My experience has been over the many years that you cannot convince anybody of these things. They have to learn that for themselves. All you could do is say what you know, and then they have to accept it or reject it. So, no, you cannot convince people. However, it's also my opinion that people, after a certain point, do get very suspicious, and things start to not add up, and then they start questioning. And that's why perhaps we're seeing some of these protests in the southern part of Europe and even in South America, where people are saying, you know, we've had enough of all the baloney, you know, now we want real world things, you know, not mind control. So I think that what the Illuminati have not planned on or considered is that there comes a point where they oversaturate the mind control programming on the population, and the psyche of the human being cannot handle it. So either they shut down or they fight back. And I think that's what we're starting to see happen now. And because the agenda is coming to a rapid ending, because they have the 2012 Mayan prophecy, you know, lunacy as their end time thing, I think that they're speeding things up too quickly. I think they're making mistakes. They're putting cracks in their plan, and things are falling through the cracks. And we're starting to see that happen. So that's one of the hopes. But I do tell people, you need to do your release work, your deprogramming, grow up the child within, create mind patterns that don't accept the programming, that reject it, and take your own mind back. And that's the way to reverse all of this.
And, of course, if people come to expansions.com, and
they will learn how to do it.
You have various levels of access, which offer various levels of education.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. We
how accessible is your stuff? Because you know a lot of teachers around on the web. You know they'll talk about stuff, and then you know it's like $200 for the first episode, and you know it's just gets more expensive after that. But you're, I believe, rather reasonably priced and affordable.
Yeah, I mean, the prices are the same no matter who you are, what you are, what level you're at, it's the same. And, you know, we still have to earn a living. We can't, you know, people say, oh, why don't you do it for free? Well, do you work for free? You know, all these people are telling me I should do it for nothing. Do they tell their boss, hey, you know, don't pay me because I just love doing this stuff? You know, like, I have to eat too. And I have a mortgage also. So, yes, I do have to charge for my work because that's my work. That's all I do. And so my point being that, and by the way, most of the information is free anyway. Mm. You know, like if people knew the work I do every day, more than half of it I do for nothing anyway. So they have to understand that. And if you do the work, there is great, great success in reintegrating the fractured portion of your personality. People have reintegrated. People have healed themselves. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're doing a one-hour webinar each night about how to become financially successful.
Wow.
And so that is available. And the first 5 days in August, I'm doing an intensive to show people how they fit into the earth and how they can become powerful in their own lives and create whatever they want in their own existence. So all these things are available for people if they would take advantage of it. So, and we have YouTube channels out there where we have videos. You can just watch them on deprogramming, on mind control, how to eliminate this. You mentioned the cooking shows, the podcasts. They're free to watch. How to eat organically and healthy. All these things are available and for people to take advantage of it. You know, just go to expansions.com and take a look around and see what you can find.
Yes, it's a lovely site. It's very the use of color, I've noticed, is mm-hmm. It's very pleasant colors to look at. I imagine that you did consult with the web designer to just get the colors exactly right.
Well, yeah, and you know that's a very difficult process because, as you know, depending on the computer screen, yeah. depending on the chart that a person's using, you know, I can think it's color XYZ, and then when you put it up there, it's something totally different.
Yeah.
So it's a very tedious effort, and I have an amazing, wonderful webmaster in Trieste, Italy. He's a proponent of my work. He's known me for years. We went with him to the Bosnian pyramids last year. He's an amazing person, and he has made an amazing website, and there's much more planned in the very near future. So people should stay tuned and keep watching. And we just have a very good group of people that we work with who are dedicated. They want to help everybody else, and in so doing, they help themselves. And that's the way the world should be. The world should be a win-win for everybody. Absolutely. Everybody wins. And that's what we seek to do.
That's brilliant. And is that the basis of your success? Technology that you're talking about doing a
the techniques that Janet and I have created in order to help people become powerful in themselves and to create the life that they want. This took a lot of it's like you can see those commercials where I'm not only the owner, I'm also a client. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever I tell people is because I've tested it on myself first.
Yeah.
And I know what works and what doesn't work and how to manipulate it and make it better. So, yeah, whatever I present to the public is because I tried it out on me first, and it works, and that's why I'm teaching it.
Excellent. So I just want to reflect a few things from the chat room because it's glowing. There's one from Gangster Kundalini saying, Swerdlow rocks. Great show, JP.
Thank you.
She's praising Blue Blood, True Blood, epic video.
Oh, and tell them to stay tuned because pretty soon I'm coming out with a new True World History book that pulls everything together.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
Yeah,
I'm still to watch Blue Blood, True Blood because it's on my list. It's on my list of seeing things, of watching videos. Oh, there's a big one. Sorry, somebody's just passed a massive paragraph.
I thought you were talking about me.
Oh, yeah, well, you know. There's a big star. He's on my radio show.
Yes.
What can I say? I mean, where was I? About the Blue Blood, True Blood. That's a subject that's very close to my heart. And, what is our true history? because if you can control our true history, then you can control the person, can't you?
Exactly. And if you control the food, you control the person too.
Yes. Yes. Oh, hello, cat. Oh, Kitty's just arrived. Sorry. She's a little murderer. She can leave 4 or 5 voles in the kitchen overnight.
Oh my goodness! I have cats like that too.
Bless her little. She's a very pretty little, you know, tiny little thing. Evil monster, completely.
Maybe she's an Illuminati agent.
I wonder sometimes. Because they used to say that in Egypt, didn't they? That cats.
Yeah,
were...
I wrote about that in Blue Blood book, actually.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll again, more reasons to want to watch that film. Excellent. I'll look out for that. Okay, so there is an Anon. He's just asked a question, and somebody's... The trouble with our chat room is that if you don't sign in with a nickname, NIC, you say anything, it will get deleted immediately. So I can't remember what that... there was a question that just popped up, but it got disappeared, so... All right, so there's a fellow talking about holograms, and here was a question from Rebus. Where is the highest level of the Illuminati located? I have heard of 4 possibilities: Pluto, in an underground base beneath the Himalayas, on the astral plane, or on the moon. What a great question!
Really, they're talking about the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Illuminati, you know, that's 13 families. And they're all over the place. If I had to pick one spot right now, or I would say is the you know, the biggest supreme headquarters, I would have to say it's in London.
Really?
Yeah. You know, in that 1 square mile area of central London, that's the world headquarters of the Illuminati. Now, there are other power centers, you know, in Washington and New York. There's even Monarch Bay in California. And, of course, there's the Rothschilds compound in France and Germany. There are many headquarters, but this Earth-based, the Illuminati are Earth-based. They have other locations, yes, but the main power is here on this planet. And they intend, according to their plan, to make the Earth the headquarters of a new galactic empire.
Right. So... this is that's a very wide-ranging response there. So this is part of their kind of overall plan, isn't it?
Yes.
So they first of all have to conquer the Earth, though.
Well, they think they're very close to that.
But you don't.
Well, because I think that's, you know, they may get very close, but I don't think they're going to be very successful, ultimately.
Excellent. So, we have a new question. Now, there it is. This is the one that that got deleted, and this is from Love to Sew Girl. Stuart, is it a bad idea to air travel within the U.S. during the last week of the Olympics?
Well, I am. I hope it's okay.
Your answer, my dear.
I'll tell you what. Look, you travel stay with on Stuart. Ultimate protection. What?
Travel with Stuart.
Yes, stay with me. Stick with me. You use that ultimate protection. You put the Oversoul Silver Infinity over you. You'll be fine. You know, don't give in to fear. You, if you fear something, you make it happen. So eliminate that and know that you are perfectly safe at all times.
Yes, yes. It's interesting that you know, I've been using a few of I'm trying to remember to use some of your techniques. I tried to just surround myself with violet and a mirror. This is something you suggested in Rebecca's shows a few weeks ago. Putting a mirror between you and everybody and surround filling the rest of it with violet. But the idea that now, is it me or is everything manifesting a lot more quickly?
Yeah, you know what? I've noticed that myself. Things do seem to be picking up. And I think it's because there's such an intense electromagnetic energy on the Earth that it just acts like a step-up transformer.
Mm. So if things are manifesting for us in that way,
mm-hmm.
Can we not just manifest the Illuminati out of here?
Well,
can it work like that?
Yeah, you know what? If everybody changed their mind pattern and got rid of the victimization, they couldn't exist anymore. Yeah.
So, with a bit, could you give us a bit of homework then in the last 8 minutes of the show? A little bit of homework that we can.
Yes, I command you to change your mind pattern.
No, no, that you could suggest that we could because you know a lot of the reasons that we don't understand these mind patterns is because of our mindset itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because mm-hmm. we've been patterned to not recognize the patterns.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, from my own work using the seven rays, understanding rays gives me an insight into using these patterns. So could you give us, I mean, obviously it would be great if everybody went to your website and signed up and downloaded everything and did all those things. But is there a kind of preparatory attitude that we could start leaning towards, you know, ways
yes.
of affirming?
Yes. It? Let me give you a very, very easy one. That everyone can do at all times.
Excellent. I like easy.
Mm-hmm. So, if you visualize a silver infinity symbol over your crown chakra, so it looks like a number 8 lying on its side,
mm-hmm.
in silver, that's your oversoul, that's your master intelligence that connects you to the God mind. Every person, place, and thing that disturbs you in your heart chakra, in your pineal gland, wherever you are feeling disturbed, send that up right through your crown into the silver infinity immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And that will change the energy, recycle it, and then put it back to you in a way that's more beneficial and easy to accept and make your life better. So instead of holding on to fear and negative thinking or disturbances, immediately, as soon as you perceive them, send them up into that silver infinity. Do that 24/7. And then you keep yourself in violet protection so nothing else can come back in there. And you'll remain intact. You'll remain happy and pure. And you won't have any negative thoughts in you anymore.
Wow.
That's easy, isn't it?
That's very easy. And that's also, you know, very succinct. And not too much loading down with complicated things. And, you know, you've got to hold one nostril and put a leg behind your head and all that stuff.
No, don't do that. You know, life is very easy. It's the people make it complicated.
I think so. I do really appreciate the care and attention that you've put into your work. It's very thorough. It feels like it's very grounded and thorough, and that's because you've made it work. Presumably you've deprogrammed people who have been in these ultra programs. Is that right?
I've taught them how to deprogram, yes.
Yeah.
And, of course, I still do it. You know, I'm not 100% either.
Mm.
I'm still working on that. It's an ongoing process.
Yes. Right. Okay.
So nobody's perfect, otherwise we wouldn't be here.
Well, you know.
Well, except for you, JP.
I come down occasionally, you know.
I know. I can see your wings already on the
yeah,
stretch.
No, I'm just stretching them out. Okay, we've got another. Hang on. Oh, yes. In the last few minutes, I spoke last night. My Icelandic friend she's an ex-wife, but has a partner who comes from South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And we were chatting last night, and she was talking about a South African shaman who was saying that the extraterrestrials that they deal with look like praying mantises.
Uh-huh, yeah, heard that.
And then we had a question that is, Stuart, it seems the Illuminati plans depend on staged events at the London Olympics. Wouldn't this be a good time for Kuiper interference?
Mm. Well, here's the thing. I think that the staged alien invasion may happen first, and then a real one will happen. But speaking of South Africa, it's my understanding since my last visit there that once all the chaos begins on the surface, that's when the Fourth Reich comes up and tries to take over everything else. So there's going to be a lot of factors, a lot of different players towards the end. But the outcome, in my opinion, ultimately, I'm not going to put a date on it, but ultimately, I think humanity will be victorious.
Yeah, that's my feeling too, that it's ultimately going to be, I think part of it is, part of a strategy to survive it is to not be caught up in the drama. Is really to build your own life.
Get on
with it. You know, let this stuff happen on the TV.
And
not dive into it.
And take responsibility for all your experiences.
Yes. Yes. None of us are victims anymore.
With the
knowledge that we've got from all of the guests here at Wolf Spirit Radio and all the information we're getting off the internet, we can be much more responsible.
Yes.
I believe this is the information is the absolute key. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So, world tour. Where's your dates? Where are you gigging, mate?
Oh, well, like I mentioned, this week is the webinar, then comes the August intensive, and then I'm going to Iceland, England, Morocco, Ireland, and Scotland. And that will bring me into September, and then we have our 10th annual conference the end of September, and then I'll be in Russia for October.
So you'll be in Scotland, and you're
I'll be in Scotland before you.
Yeah. You're going to take the high road or the low road?
I take the high road.
Excellent. The date is...
In Scotland, I'll be there the September 4th through the 6th.
And you'll be in Stirling, is that right?
Well, one of the places, and I'll be going to Roslyn Chapel and all around that area.
Wow. So I really hope to be able to get mobile and to get down there. It's a few hours drive from here, but I certainly would love to eyeball you, meet you up, and we'll have a couple of vodkas together.
Absolutely.
And so, Stuart Swerdlow, thank you a million times for coming on the show.
No, you're welcome.
It's been entertaining. It's been educational, even edumacational, and it's been a real blast. So, with that, I'm going to hit my little button here. Here's the tune. Thank you very much. Please join us next week on Wolf Spirit Radio, and on Tuesday at Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Don't forget the donate button, people. And I'll be playing some music before I hand back. I'll probably play a couple of episodes after this. But thank you for listening, and a very, very good night. Beyond.